one of the big things I wanted to do was like break this conception. One of the things I still want to do, by the way, for the rest of my life, is shake people's understanding of money and attaching such importance to our perceptions of money. I hate that society makes us believe that our value is dependent on money. I fucking hate it. Turn my music high. All right, today I want to talk about money, and it's something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, and just like my money journey and story, because I think it's, one day it'll be obvious, but obviously it'll be a huge part of the journey, and just, I mean, inherently in anyone's journey, the amount of money that they make is society's way of measuring their success, and I don't know how to dive into this later, but I'll just say for now, like, that's one of the struggles that I've had along my money journey is coming to terms with the fact that it is inevitable and it is just how it is. And I need to just accept that money is how society perceives people and their success. And as much as I wanted to resist that, I just have come to terms with the fact that that's what it is. So, I was going to throw it out there at the beginning, but today I'm talking about money and like, I have so much to say about it. I recorded an episode talking about it a few weeks ago in my recording studio, which currently during this COVID crisis is the front seat of my car with Laya in the back seat. So that's the baby's toy noises and songs that you will occasionally hear. But anyways, I drove around, I talked about it, and I wasn't happy with what I said, and on the recording, it was actually one of the first times that I actually said, I think I might have to edit that out because I don't like where I was going, and if you're a listener, you know that I really don't edit my episodes, I just kind of talk, and I don't even listen to them back, which, yeah, arguably leads to some poorer quality recordings, but just the way I like to function, and you know, done better than perfect. I don't think I would have a podcast if I actually listened to everything and edited and all that kind of stuff. So there I go on a tangent again. But the point is that I recorded an episode. It was like half an hour, 40 minutes. And then I just felt like, what was I talking about for 40 minutes? Like I wasn't getting to the point. Like I was still living with like this discomfort with what I was saying. I didn't feel like I was doing with confidence and just kind of sidestepping around the real shit. And today I said to myself, like, you know, just get to the real shit. So Friday morning, I love Friday mornings. Even though I don't work on a Monday to Friday schedule, I still adhere to some sort of Monday to Friday, guideline for my life, family time, Friday night and on Saturday morning. So Friday morning I love. I've always just felt really good. And I guess that's just kind of carried into this new phase of my life. And I've decided to allocate it as much as I can to creative time, meaning these types of things, recordings, writings, caption writing, just general creative thinking. I feel really good. I'm really like buzzing on Friday mornings. And it's one of the ways that I've learned to try to transfer my energy into every day. And I won't lie and say that I do every single day. I feel like it's Friday morning, but today was a beautiful Friday morning. It's May 15th. I woke up and I like kind of stared out the window and I realized I was staring out the window in a very peaceful way because it was something that I envisioned myself doing when I stared out the window at my mountain view backyard home. Call it the dream home if you'd like, but when I picture myself in my home, in my dream home, in the future, it's a mountain view. And for some reason, it's in the morning, the sun is rising, and I'm just staring out the window. Sometimes I'm drinking coffee, sometimes I'm drinking tea, whatever it is. But this morning, as I looked out the window, I realized I was doing that. Like, I was just staring out the window, looking at the trees. And even though it wasn't a mountain view in my dream home, I felt what I knew I was going to feel in my dream home, which was focus, which was strength, which was hunger, which was confidence, it was comfort in my situation, and most importantly, it was gratitude for my situation. And I didn't think I was going to start this recording like this, but that has absolutely been probably the most, that has been the most critical difference between me of today and me of 8 to 10 to 12 months ago, is the gratitude that I feel for my current situation. Because May 15th, 2019, I could have done the exact same thing, and forget about the date, but on a Friday in May, it could have been beautiful and sunny, the exact same weather as today. Acknowledging that the circumstances are very different with the crisis and everything, the pandemic, but I could have woken up to that weather and just looked outside and said, I fucking hate my life, and why hasn't anything changed, and I hate that I'm still like doing what I did yesterday, and I don't have a job, and I have no money, and nothing's coming in, I'm unhappy, and I was baked last night because I was trying to forget about the fact that today was going to be the exact same as yesterday, and I was just not okay, and I was upset. But today, I mean, not only have I been clean for 2.5 months, but I feel so grateful for the roof that I still live under, the food that I still have in the fridge, the family that I have around me that loves and supports me, the opportunities that I have, the time that I have, most critically, to be able to still do what I want to do and pursue what I feel resonates with me. I can't tell you how grateful I am to still be in that position, even though I've, in some ways, pissed away the last 2 years. I also realize I haven't pissed it away. It's made me into who I am, and it's put me in today, and that's what it was doing. We had our cousin drop by the house this morning and just chatted, and he said something that his wife was living by and that he's really come to appreciate as well, is the phrase, instead of thinking about why is this happening to me, think about why is it happening for me. And that really resonated. I appreciated that. And I also mentioned that because the conversation was amazing. And he told me something that I really appreciated. It was that he read a caption of mine, and it made him feel like he was learning something very similar to what I was learning at the time. And when he told me what it was, I said, you know what else is interesting? I have no idea what you're talking about, because I really had no idea which caption he was referring to, what I wrote, that made him think that or like feel that we had connected over this lesson. And to me, the beauty and the fascinating part of that was that you'll never know what people are going to take from what you say and what you do. You just have to do what you do. And I don't know how to finish that sentence. You just have to be yourself, be the best that you can be. Don't worry about the opinions of others. And even, by the way, in a very positive light, don't even worry about how you inspire people. People will be inspired. And this sort of mindset and mentality and attitude is something that I've really spent, you know, a lot of time and energy on, like on a daily basis over the last 3 months studying. And I have been doing it through the Matrix, the Mindset Masters Academy. And it's been incredible. And it's really helped me to understand how the brain functions and how motivation exists and what motivation is and what action is and what it is that propels our bodies and our minds to do the things that they do. Like, really understanding it has been the first critical step for me, and it's really helped and gone a long way. And one of those things is about our relationship with money, which is why I wanted to talk about it today, because I kind of knew that I had a very unhealthy relationship with money. I came to realize it like over the last 2 years especially. But just really quick, if you don't know my money story, I grew up in a relatively, Eli, oh my God, Eli is asleep? Are you asleep? She fell asleep? You gotta be kidding me. We've been out here for like 5 minutes. She never falls asleep after 5 minutes. Honey. Oh man, I screwed up the nap time again. I thought I got out early enough. Oh, okay. Okay, so there's real life for you happening in the recording studio as we drive down the road. So that's gonna change the day a little bit, but anyways, as I was saying, I grew up in a household where, you know, I had, my parents immigrated my dad was a professional, but, you know, he started his own practice and grew it as we grew up. Yeah, we definitely got to a point where we were, I don't know how to describe it, because I don't know how to tell my parents' money story, to be honest. So me as a child, I saw money as not abundant. It was something that did not grow on trees. I was told, you know, it doesn't just, well, I already said it doesn't grow on trees. I saw frugality from my parents. And, you know, we got to a point where we were comfortable, and we also knew that if we were in a situation where we needed, and we were in that situation where we needed money, we could go to our parents. But when I wanted to buy a car when I was 17 years old, my dad made sure that I did not make a stupid choice and go blow basically my savings account on a car. My dad was still an accountant. You know, he still was very, I don't know, yeah, stringent with us about how we spent our money. So that was like the perspective that I think a lot of people share, at least in my experiences and my conversations with people as I grew up. That was like their perspective of money, their relationship with money. I graduated engineering and then got a job, and the job offer noted that I would be making six figures within, I think, 2 years. And it blew me away, right? I didn't think that would be happening so quickly, even though people told me that once you study as an engineer, you're going to be fine for the rest of your life. So then I, you know, worked and had very few expenses. That's not the right word. I didn't pay for my cell phone. I didn't rent. I still lived at home. My parents still, you know, cooked dinner every night. And then I moved to the field, and then the company paid for my vehicle and all my travel. And I was buying meals whenever I felt like it. I bought clothes whenever I felt like it, because this disposable income was all I had. Like, I didn't have to pay for shit. Eventually I moved out and got my own place, and yeah, the bills increased, but I still had a lot of disposable income. So I was very comfortable. I bought what I wanted. I bought what I felt like. I did what I wanted. Like, I went to concerts and shows whenever I wanted. If we or our friends wanted to go somewhere on a trip, whatever it was, Vegas or whatever, we just went. And I didn't blow money. I still learned from my accountant father to be like pretty strict with how I spend money. So I wouldn't go to the casinos and blow a lot of money, but it was easy for me to buy every meal of the day when we were traveling, buy drinks all day, like go to the bar at the club, like be comfortable. And you know, it was comfortable. I didn't blow a lot of money, so I wasn't in debt. I lived within my means, but I wasn't saving money. And yeah, a lot of this has to do with the fact that I didn't learn very good saving like habits and money management habits and things like that. But I guess I'm just trying to focus on the relationship with money and what I thought money was, and how I valued it. It just came every month, came and went. And I don't think I really valued it. I didn't respect it the same way that people would imply that a smart investor would. And I say all this because I knew that when I quit my job, one of the things that I was going to have to learn if I was going to be successful was the value of a dollar, because I really didn't respect it. And in the back of my mind, there was something telling me that I already knew how that was going to happen, and that was to lose everything. You're not going to respect it until you don't have it, kind of that sort of relationship. But now today I realize, like, that is also a way of learning and understanding something, in this case being money, that somebody else taught me and that I've learned through other means and examples, like losing a person, you know? You don't know what you have till it's gone. You don't know what you had in a partner until they're gone. Though that kind of mentality. Okay, so I got cut off there by a phone call, and I don't know how much of the end of the part one of that episode that I'm really thrilled with, like, leaving off. So I might actually chop some stuff off for once. I'm gonna have to chop off the sound of the ringtone going off, that's for sure. But in any case, what I was saying at the end of part one there was that I was watching a video this morning, listening to a video on YouTube. It was Madison Dalmasso of the Mindset Masters 6 months ago talking about the relationship that we have with money, how we set goals, and the way that we think about money and the way that we have been trained to think about money just based on the way our society is and the way that our parents may have talked about it, the circumstances that they may have been in. And it's the universal lesson and the universal types of practices that this academy has kind of taught me is about training the subconscious mind. And it's really helped me to understand, like, how we actually function as people. And I find it fascinating, but to be able to, like, apply it to myself is really interesting. But it's the word universal because your subconscious mind obviously applies to everything. It doesn't discriminate if you're working out or if you're thinking about your job or your money or your family or love or anything like that. So this lesson very much applied to the relationship with money. And, you know, whether you realize it or not, you have a paradigm around money. And without trying to sound like I have mastered this material, I don't want to sound like I'm preaching and, like, trying to teach you about this. I'm trying to share my experience with it. And my experience is that I have come to learn that I thought of money as, like, an evil. And I posted this on my LinkedIn, like, I think last week, along the lines that I used to think that big money, as in it flowing in the millions of dollars, was for the corrupt and the greedy, and there were very few good people who had this situation, because I didn't, first of all, know a lot of people in that situation of having, you know, big money flowing in. But anytime that I really saw it, it was like celebrities, so you don't really know who they are as people, or they were, like, corrupt because they were in the news for making a lot of money in the wrong way, taking advantage of people. But I've come to understand and learn that you could reprogram yourself, and, like, I can retrain my mind to see money in a very positive light. And this kind of goes to what I was saying earlier about how I used to be upset that, you know, society used money as a benchmark for measuring people's success and their value and their worth. And I refused to attach myself to that, and, like, I did not want to be a part of that standard of measurement. And I said, you know what, I'm gonna be the best version of myself, and if I don't have millions and millions of dollars, I will know that I am the best version of myself, and that's all that matters. But that was a little bit, I don't know about passive aggressive, but, like, it was not healthy. Like, that's not a healthy way to go. And more importantly, aside from standing up from this principle that disagrees with society, why don't I stand up for something that makes my life a lot easier and helps me to accomplish the objectives and the goals that I actually have? And the goals and objectives that I'm referring to is that I want to help people, and I want to be able to inspire people, and I want to be able to treat my family to whatever the hell I want and whatever the hell they want. And I want to be able to do things that anybody in this world can do, plus more. I want to be able to do things that nobody has done before. That's how I think. That's what drives me. That's what motivates me, is knowing that I can make I can make different moves than what is expected of me or is expected of all of us. I think that everybody is beautiful and unique in their own way. A lot of people, well, most people just don't realize or appreciate that they have the ability to actually, you know, impose that on the world around them, especially in a positive way. I think the negativity and, you know, the greed, the corruption, I don't want to get into like a philosophical, like human nature type of analysis here, but it seems like it's much more common for people to impose their negativity on the world by taking advantage of people, stealing, bribing, you know, stepping on others, than it is for them to impose positivity. And I will say, I do think that's, you know, again, this whole like perception, and there's a lot of that at play, and I'm just choosing to be exposed to more of the positivity these days than I was in the past. So, you know, take all that for what you will. But the point was that with money, I can invest in businesses, I can start businesses quicker, I have more of that credibility according to society standards that allow me to impose my influence. And I don't like the word impose because that doesn't generally have very positive connotations, but that's kind of what I'm going for. So, you know, take that in the right context. The previous point I was trying to get to was, in this video, Madison describes her journey in money, and she talks about being a college student and how she was in this quote-unquote normal sort of perception of money and relationship with money. She was trying to keep up with the Joneses. She was $4,000 in debt, and eventually like started studying this material and got herself out of debt. She had her dream car within a year. Again, I don't want to tell her story, but the reason that I'm sharing that is because one of the things that she said, which I do think is very normal, is that she was like a little bit ashamed to tell people that she was in debt. She was embarrassed. And I was too. I was ashamed and embarrassed about how I had managed my money and put my family in a position where, you know, they're suffering, not suffering, but like don't have the access and the abundance that I always thought that I would offer my family. Like when I was growing up, I was like, when I grow up and if I ever have a family, I'm going to provide for them. I'm going to do what every, you know, father, every breadwinner does for his family, and give them whatever they want. So as I record this today, May of 2020, here's the ugly truth of it. I am $15,000 in debt, and I don't want to feel ashamed about it. I just wanted to be what it is, and I do this with so much, as in I try to tell the truth and just be real and honest and make it part of my journey, let it be the authentic and true part of the story. I think in some ways I've been delaying getting to the real guts of this recording, but that's kind of the reality of my situation right now. I'm in debt. Like, it's not good, financially speaking, anyways. I've had to borrow money for the first time probably in my life. I've been blessed and fortunate enough to have whatever summer jobs and well-paying jobs that I never had to worry about money. As I kind of described earlier, I just spent it and it came and went. And now I'm in debt, and I don't have a steady income stream, a reliable, steady income stream anywhere on the horizon. My wife is working, but that's not going to provide what we know we are capable of bringing in. So I also have to say that as much as that is like a scary, crazy thought, and you may think I'm an absolute idiot, depending on your perspective, you may be right. Because when I left my job, I had giant savings account and have just lived off of it and made the equivalent of one paycheck since I left the job. And that is, you know, it was about $4,000. That's like per paycheck that I was making when I was working in oil and gas. I've made that through the business endeavor that I worked with a few investors on in December. It was an automation company that they brought me in. They said, hey, we'll pay a little bit. Like, can you research this idea for us? Look into it. And, you know, I did that for 5-6 months, made a little bit of money. I did some part-time work for Pro Football Focus and made some money there. So that's kind of how I say this, is like, that's why I say this. I've made the equivalent of one paycheck in the last 2 years, 3 months. And yeah, I'm in debt. So, you know, you may call me foolish for not making better moves. But in my perspective and in my mind, I've never been in a better position. I've never felt stronger. I've never felt better. I've never been more confident that things will be okay. And that things will be better than just okay. Things will be amazing and awesome and in abundance very soon. I will have money flowing like I've never had it flow before. And I know this. I am so confident in this, and I've never been more confident and comfortable saying this. Because not only have I learned that, you know, it's about how you program your mind and how you train your mind. And, you know, the things that I've said already in this recording about looking out the window and being that millionaire me in my dream home, feeling those feelings, like knowing that, you know, you can reprogram yourself and train yourself to learn certain things. And again, I don't want to like try to teach you this stuff, but this is the kind of stuff that I've been learning in this academy, this program, and say what you want about it. It might sound weird, but I guarantee you it won't sound weird when I'm rolling in millions and millions of dollars in, I don't know, a few years from now. I bet you that most of you listening to this recording do so in the year 2021 and beyond. Because what credibility do I have in 2020? Like, what reason do I have to really attract people to listen to what I have to say right now? But I'm not worried about that at all, because I know that I have a shit ton to offer, and this documentation process is half the fun of it. And I realized today that I need to start adding some paid segments to my podcast, because one day they're going to blow up and, you know, my credibility is through the roof because I do have the millions of dollars. So anyways, the confidence that I feel is one thing, but I also, like, as in from this sort of like subconscious mind training, but it also comes from like the journey that I've kind of been on. And that's the other part of this that I think has really like morphed in the last like 2 years. The actual money journey, like relationship part of this, was, you know, going from making six figures easy every year at that engineering profession to leaving the job. And when I left the job, money was not a factor. Like, we were comfortably living with, like, you know, very, I don't know what the word is, but like humble expenses. Like, I didn't push my mortgage limit when I bought my first condo. It was a very reasonable purchase for me, just over like $300,000. I could afford the mortgage plus the condo fees, all the utilities, plus still have the disposable income, which is why I was still spending money the way I was on like clothes and takeout food and all that kind of stuff. Like, because I didn't stretch my wallet to the limits just getting the place. So I had the ability to still, like, you know, have the money flow in and out. So anyways, after I left, my mindset didn't shift too much about money, aside from thinking that, well, I just made a big move in my life. And everybody was patting me on the back as I walked out the door. Not only people who were still inside saying, good for you, you're taking care of your mental health, this is awesome. Like, I wish, a few people said to me, like, I wish I could do that. One person said to me directly, like one-on-one, look me in the face and said, you're doing basically, like, he was trying to say something. And then finally he just said, you're doing exactly what I want to do. And I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, do it. Like, what's stopping you? So I won't get into that because I understand everybody's circumstances are different. But the point was that I left with this feeling like I was like pumped up. Like my tires were just getting so inflated by this. And I don't know if it was an ego thing or what, but I really just felt like in my heart that I had earned something already because I had made this big move to leave this job and like take this step for myself and my life, that suddenly I was going to be rewarded. And I knew I was going to be a millionaire at that point. I knew it. But I thought it was just going to come to me. And I just thought it was owed to me. And looking back on it, for those first, you know, 3 to 6 months, I felt entitled. I felt entitled to that $1 million. And I did set a goal for myself. And I don't remember exactly when, because I didn't write it down. But I set a goal for myself. I want to make $1 million income. I want to have $1 million income by the time I'm 35 years old. So this was, I was 31 years old. Or I had just turned 31, like 2 months after I left that job. So I was 30 years old. And I said, yeah, by the time I'm 35, I'm going to have $1 million income in 1 year. But that feeling of entitlement is also something that stuck with me, and I knew that it was like burning in my I don't know if it was subconscious mind, but it was like it was bothering me because I knew that I was entitled, and I knew that things weren't actually going to happen with as long as I felt that feeling of like entitlement. And to be honest with you, when I got down to quote unquote my last dollar, can't say that that's when everything happened like I thought it would. Like I said earlier, I thought that, you know, I was gonna have to lose everything to understand the value of that dollar. So when it happened, I was kind of also feeling entitled and waiting for like my brain to just snap and like, okay, now I'm gonna go, now I'm gonna run, I'm gonna get up and figure this out. But it didn't happen. I will tell you that there came a point where I went to borrow money from my parents. And as soon as the words kind of came out of my mouth, that like, this is my situation, I knew that they would have my back, but I still broke in that moment. And I just realized like, this actually just happened. And I started crying. And it was, you know, one of the first times in recent memory that I cried in front of my parents and in that way. So a topic for another day as far as my relationship with them. But point just being like, I don't know if it was an instant that really like changed everything for me. I kept waiting for an instant where everything would happen. And even when I cried in that moment, I also still knew like, this isn't it. Like this isn't like the one exact instant where everything is going to change. Because on a slightly unrelated matter, aside from like money, I realized that over those 2 years, and after acknowledging that, you know, I was entitled and all that, I still kept waiting for like something to motivate me to suddenly wake up and change my world. And I posted on social media in a few different places, and like my own journal, I wrote a few times, like, I could, if I looked back, I bet you I could find like 4 to 5, maybe 6 times where I documented, this might be the moment that changes everything. Because I was looking for an instant, for something to snap, for something to change for me, and to just realize that, okay, I've suddenly found my path, I've suddenly realized something, or somebody has called me with a job offer. Which, by the way, did happen as well. Somebody called me with a job offer. I'll pay you. I want you for this position. But that wasn't it either. I thought it was, by the way. That was one of the moments where somebody called me up and said, I want you to run this part of my business for me. But it didn't work out. And as those things kept happening and falling, and I would get a little bit more confused, I get a little bit more lost, And eventually I had to just acknowledge and realize, like, this doesn't happen in an instant. Your relationship with money does not just happen. You're not instantly just going to, nobody's going to show up and hand you $1 million one day. Nobody's going to show up and hand you $1 million opportunity even one day. It just doesn't happen that way. And that kind of sucked to acknowledge. But I'm having a lot more fun today knowing that that's not going to happen. Not only does it give me confidence knowing that the small steps that I'm taking today are getting me closer to that $1 million income, but I also forgot the end of that thought. Yeah, I don't know what the rest of that phrase was. I don't know why I started that sentence that way, but I'm having a lot more fun today knowing that I'm slowly building the empire as opposed to waiting or trying to find the perfect move. And the commentary kind of shifts here because we started with talking about money, but this is not just about money. It's about, like, the mindset, the behavior, the attitude, which applies in general in life, to my life and to my journey. As much as I'm flirting with this money and, like, trying to, like, woo it into my life and, like, I know I'm doing it, it's about building it one block at a time and making myself just happier, because at the end of the day, money is just money. I don't want money because I want money. I want money because I know it's going to make my life easier. It's going to make certain things less stressful. It's going to make certain things more enjoyable. It's going to make certain things more accessible. And all of that is what contributes to being happy. It's what contributes to doing what I ultimately want to be doing in this world. It's contributing to how I ultimately want to leave this world behind. It contributes to how I ultimately want to set an example for my daughter, for the next generation. How I want to feel and know that I did the best that I could do. I stepped into the arenas that I stepped into and put my absolute best foot forward, and I won. I won. Like, so I may frame this around money and the title may talk about money, but rest assured and don't be mistaken, like, money is just money. Like, I don't know how else to say that, but anyways, I don't want to feel ashamed about this. I know most people are. But one of the big things I wanted to do is, like, break this conception. One of the things I still want to do, by the way, for the rest of my life, is shake people's understanding of money and attaching such importance to our perceptions of money. I hate that society makes us believe that our value is dependent on money. I fucking hate it. Like, the people that I've seen hang their heads because they think that they're inferior to someone because of the financial situations that they're both in. Oh, I hate it. Like, I hate it. And the people who stick their noses up in the air because they think they've accomplished something by making six figures or seven figures sickens me. I think that we're conditioned by society and the world around us to think that this is what makes us who we are. It doesn't. It doesn't at all. And that's why I'm sitting here today in debt, confidently saying, fuck this. It does not dictate who I am as a person. It does not tell me how valuable I am as a person. It does not determine my place in society. It does not decide how I speak about myself. Fuck that. I decide how valuable I am. And I think everybody has that ability. Everybody has that power. One of the things that I've learned is, like, you attract what you think. You attract what you are. And there's a big difference between, you know, the results of today and the results of tomorrow. And, you know, I don't know how to say this in, like, I don't have, like, a saying or whatever. I know there's a good one, but your results today are the outcome of your past actions and your past decisions. You need to make your decisions today, knowing that your results tomorrow are going to be different. And I know that my results tomorrow are going to be different, because today I'm a completely different person than I was 6 months ago, and a year ago, 2 years ago, and 5 years ago. I'm better. I'm good. Like, I'm a rock star. I'm the fucking man. Like, I tweeted out the other day, like, billionaire. That's it. Billionaire. 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 Because I'm going to be a billionaire one day. And I know I wrote that on my Instagram, like, months ago. And I told somebody when we were talking about it in person, like, why would I limit myself to thinking that I'm just going to be a millionaire? Who decided that millionaire is, like, elite status in society? Who decided that millionaire is good enough? Like, as soon as you understand that those types of ceilings are manufactured by ourselves and others, you realize that you can move the ceilings. So why wouldn't I want to be a billionaire? Why wouldn't I think of myself as a billionaire, value myself that way? And by the way, I don't need you to tell me how I should value myself. And I'm no different than you, so guess what? You don't need anybody else to tell you how to value yourself. These are the things that I really feel are fucked up in our society. I really like missing. People just don't connect these dots. They just let the circumstances, the society, the previously accepted ways of doing things determine how they think, act, feel, behave, whatever. And I just think it's, sure, it's for the masses, but if this resonates with you, it resonates with you. If it doesn't, then it doesn't. I just had to say it out loud, and to be honest with you, I feel a lot better saying it out loud. I have not said this kind of stuff, I don't think, with words. I've written it down before, and I'll write these kinds of things in my journal. But I really love this podcasting for this reason as well, because I really appreciate the ability to, like, stretch my legs and say these kinds of things out loud, record them, and know that it helps me as well, because this really does help me. I sometimes find, in some ways, I find this kind of therapeutic. I said in one of my Instagram videos, like, a year ago, I found so much value in just watching myself on video, so I could understand, like, my nonverbal cues, the way that I communicate, like, my facial expressions, the words that I use. And I encourage people to do it for themselves, even if you just delete it. Video yourself talking about something one day, especially if you're, like, in sales or whatever, like, and you interact with people on a regular basis. Like, you should video yourself, see how you look to other people, and you'll probably learn a lot about yourself. I kind of feel that way about recording voice as well. I really enjoy it anyways, but hey, you should try it one day. I hope this has offered some value to you. Thanks so much for listening. I think that was everything I had to say. I hope it was, but anyways, thanks again so much for listening to Navigating Career Change with Zach Yamba.